I want to discuss some ideas about tshuva and ideas that will kind of help us understand our role during the service of tshuva, our role during Yom Kippur, and what we can accomplish, you know, really within ourselves during this time of year. So I'm just, if you don't mind, I'm going to mute everybody. If you have any questions, feel free to raise your hand or unmute. Okay. I haven't used Zoom in a while. I have to get back into all the Zoom settings over here. Okay. Okay, here we go. So the goal, obviously, during this time of year, the goal is tshuva. Tshuva, you know, loosely translated, repentance, improvement, becoming a better person. That's really our goal. But I want to discuss practically, you know, the tshuva is always it's a very lofty topic. It's somewhat of a, we'll call it a philosophical topic. It's a topic which is hard for us to grasp what to do exactly. We know become better. We know stop doing bad things. We know do better things. But there's some elements of tshuva, some parts of tshuva, which I think are more within ourselves and more practical than we actually imagine. So let's think for a second. Really, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, what do we do? On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we don't do anything. We think and we daven. Those days are set aside for thinking and for davening. But there's not much of a doing during those days. So let's take an example for a second. Let's say I'm somebody who has a challenge with jealousy. Right? I'm jealous of all sorts of people. I want what they have. I look down at others, etc. So I say, okay, Sirs Mitzvah is coming. It's Yom Kippur time. So I tell myself, no more jealousy. I'm all done being jealous. Obviously, that's not very effective because you can tell yourself anything you want, but it doesn't change you. It doesn't make you not jealous. It's just something you've told yourself. So what's true tshuva? Let's say the same challenge comes my way. You know, a friend of mine comes by with something that typically I would be jealous of, and then I'm able to control my personal reaction to that and my emotions. So that's more of a step towards tshuva because I've actually been through the challenge again and I've held back. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. But let's say Rosh Hashanah is here and Aseres Mitzvah is here and Yom Kippur is here and the challenge doesn't come my way. So I told myself, no more jealousy. But I wasn't put to the test. So what did I do exactly? Like, what did I change? How did I grow during this season? If the test doesn't come my way, then what kind of tshuva is that? It's just, at least they talk is cheap. So I say to God, no more jealousy for me. I'm all done being jealous. But it's just talk. You put your money where your mouth is, as they say. Like, where exactly, what changed? How is it different? So I want to discuss more about what tshuva requires and what we can do during these days. So first I want to share with you a passage from the Rambam. Hilchos Tshuva. And this kind of more adds to the question, rather than answers the question at first. But the Rambam says, this is the beginning of chapter 2, the first paragraph in the Laws of Tshuva, the Rambam says, Ezohi Tshuva Gemura. What is complete Tshuva? If one wants to do complete Tshuva, what do they do? So the Rambam says, this is the case would be where Bala Yaro Davar She'avarbo, the same situation occurs to you that you failed at in the past. So whatever your challenge is, whatever you're working on, that same challenge comes your way. And the Efshar B'yado Lasos, and you have the ability to again fail and commit the sin. Upirish, and you don't. You hold back. Vlasa, don't do it because you did tshuva. Not because you're scared, not because you're too weak. So for instance, we're going back to our example of jealousy. So my friend comes by, who I'm usually jealous of. But today, let's say, you know, I'm feeling really sick. I don't feel good today. So the emotion of jealousy doesn't like get to me because I'm just too sick to get jealous. I'm more worried about my headache than worried about my friend walking by. So that's not tshuva, because it's not the tshuva, it's not the repentance that has changed me. It's the fact that that I have a headache. Let's say somebody walks by. But, you know, I'm with a friend that can tell if I start, you know, being distracted. And I'm embarrassed of it. I'm embarrassed to start looking at, you know, my friend walking by who I'm jealous of because my friend who's with me is going to notice that I'm distracted and know what's going on. So I don't do it. That's not because I've improved or changed. It's because somebody near me has made me aware of my bad midah and stopped me. So that's not tshuva either. The Rambam says full tshuva is the challenge comes your way, and you could do it, nothing else is stopping you, and you don't, that's tshuva. So I'll ask you again, well, so then this week, if the challenge doesn't come our way, then what tshuva are we doing? If this week we're put into a situation that we're trying to improve in, and we actually do hold back, so then it makes sense. We understand. At that point, we've shown Hashem that we are serious about our commitments. We've done tshuva, and how do I know? Because I was put to the challenge, and I held back. And I could have done the Aveira, I could have sinned, and I didn't do it. So that's tshuva. But let's say Yom Kippur goes by. Yom Kippur, there's very few challenges coming your way besides keeping yourself focused on davening and, you know, and not eating. But you know, usually don't have too many other challenges in Yom Kippur. It's a day which is very focused. Your schedule is pretty clear what you have to do. So what tshuva are we trying to do? And how do you do tshuva if the challenge doesn't come up? What do you do? So I want to share with you an important point, which is based on the Gemara, we'll bring a few sources for this. But I want to start with the passage from the Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin. You know, the Gemara says a very fascinating thing. The Gemara says, you know, we know when it comes to marriage. So usually these cases are somewhat hypothetical that the Gemara brings. The Gemara talks about if a man gives a woman the ring to do kiddushin with her, to marry her, but with conditions. So is it a good marriage or not? So for instance, you know, the man says, I'm going to give you the ring, harem kodeshesli, I give you the ring, amanas, on the condition that, you bake me a cake tomorrow. Something silly. So you can make a condition in it. If she fulfills the condition, they're married. If not, they're not married. You have cases of that sort in the Gemara. One case in the Gemara says, a man gives a woman the ring, says, harem kodeshesli, amanas shani tzaddik. He says, I'm married to you, you're married to me, on condition that I'm a tzaddik, that I'm righteous. So the Gemara says, even if this guy who's giving the ring is known to be a Rasha Gomer, he's a well-known, you know, wicked, evil, terrible person. You know, he's a known murderer. He's a known thief. The Gemara says that we have to be concerned they're married. Why? I mean, the guy is a known Rasha. We know this guy is a wicked person. Why are we concerned the marriage is valid? So Gemara says, why? Because Shema here, tshuva believer. Maybe he had thoughts of tshuva in his heart prior to giving the ring. So 5 minutes ago, he was busy holding up a bank. And 10 minutes from now, he's going to be beating up his grandmother. Right? But right now, he gave a ring and said, I'm married to you on condition that I'm a tzaddik. Gemara says, we're concerned. Maybe he's actually a tzaddik because maybe he thought of tshuva in his heart. Now, we didn't see any evidence to this at all. I mean, again, 10 minutes ago, he was holding up a bank, and now he's beating up his grandma. That was our case, you know, God forbid. But that's the case. But still, we say that he can be considered a tzaddik at that moment. Why? Because in his heart, he had thoughts of tshuva. So what does that tell us? It tells us that tshuva is very much, it's a mindset. It can be done in your heart, in your thoughts. And even if you lose it after a while, even though 10 minutes from now, you've lost those feelings, if the feelings were real, and they were sincere, there was commitment involved. I mean, only God knows if his thoughts were sincere. But if it was actually sincere, that's considered valid tshuva. And at the moment, he's called a tzaddik. Even though 5 minutes ago he was not, and 5 minutes later he's not. He's still a tzaddik. Because why? At the moment he was thinking of tshuva with sincerity and a genuine and with genuine commitment, he's considered a tzaddik. So that's what the Gemara says. So what it shows us is that it's the power of the mind. It's the power of our hearts. It's the power of our perspective, of our attitude. I mean, if we want to define ourselves, am I wicked or am I righteous? So this Gemara is telling you that a lot has to do with where your mind is. And the actions have to follow. If your mind is in the right place, you do the wrong actions, so you're not so righteous either. But that moment where the guy is not doing anything wrong, and his thoughts are 100% pure and genuine, he wants to do tshuva, he's considered a tzaddik. It's the power of the mind. It's the power of commitment, of our resolve, of our will. And really, this period of the year, commentaries refer to it as Yemei HaRatzon. It's the days of will or desire. So some understand that it's days where God has goodwill towards us. God is looking to help us come back to Him. But it's also days where we have to show our will towards God. We have to show our desire to be better people. and we show that ratzon, that will, we develop the drive and the genuine commitment to be better. So this is tshuva. That's real tshuva, because our ratzon, our will, is in the right place. So that's tshuva. I want to read to you a second in the paragraph in the Rambam, which brings out this point. So the Rambam's first paragraph we quoted was, what is complete tshuva? And that requires that the challenge comes your way, and you hold back because of your tshuva. That's considered complete tshuva, 100%. But there's a second level of tshuva. This is in all chapter 2, paragraph 2 of the Rambam. The Rambam says, Mahi tshuva, what is tshuva? Hushiyazu v'chote cheto. So you leave aside your sin, v'yasirun v'machshavaso, you remove it from your thoughts, v'igmar b'libo shliyaseu od, and then you decide in your heart that you won't do it again. So the Rambam says, obviously you can't be doing the sin at the time of tshuva, the sin is not being done. But then the next two points are about thought. It is removed from your mind, and you make a commitment in your heart. So it's about, again, your attitude. If you, in your mind, you no longer want to do that, in your heart you're committed not to do it, so that's sufficient. And then he says you have to regret the past, then that's also in thought, that's also in your mind. And then the Rambam says a very important statement. He says, V'yayet alav yadea telumos, your commitment has to be to the extent that Hashem, who knows all that is hidden, can testify about you that you won't return to that sin. So yashiv lezeh hachit le'olam, you will never return back to that sin again. So that's showing the power of the resolve that you need, the power of your attitude, your commitment. Meaning what? If, what does it mean God could testify to the fact that I won't go back to that sin? Because maybe I will. The answer is, at that moment, right now, if we were to zero in on your mind, he would say that commitment is so strong, this person at that moment is so committed, has so much of a will, of a desire not to sin again, this person at this moment will not sin again. If they maintain that mindset, this person will actually not sin again. The problem is we lose our mindset after a while. Sometimes you have a moment, let's say on Yom Kippur, where you feel very inspired. You know, the seriousness of the day, the davening, the atmosphere inspires you to the point where you really do feel a commitment of making a real improvement in life. In that moment, the commitment is very strong, because you know where you want to go, you know how important it is. And if I asked you at that moment, if I stopped you at 4 in the afternoon Yom Kippur, and you had a very good inspiring Yom Kippur, and I said, are you going to ever do X again? You'll say, of course not. I never want to do that again. It's the silliest thing. How stupid of me that I've done that in the past. It's so clear I shouldn't be doing that. Now when I stop you a week later, you'll say, well, it's really hard. I tried. I don't know. I put forth effort. But at that moment in Yom Kippur, you really felt that you're done. That you're done with that sin. You're done with that midah. You're done with that problem. You felt that way. You said, it was so silly. You know, we spend the whole Yom Kippur dwelling upon, you know, the sins we've done and our shortcomings. And say, I was so silly for doing it. I don't see why I always give in to that temptation. I'm not going to do it anymore. In that moment, God can come in and say, this person is totally sincere, 100%. I sense total sincerity right here. Total sincerity. He or she is so sincere, they will not do it again. Yeah, but next week you did it again. The answer is because you lost that resolve. You lost that mindset. But the mindset you had in Yom Kippur was there, and it was real. And because it was real, that's considered tshuva. And that's what you were looking for. You took it out of your heart. You took it out of your mind. You made commitments, and they were real. And what Hashem was looking for is the strength of commitment. So if I were to maybe reframe the goal on Yom Kippur, the idea of the tshuva gemura, the Rambam says, this complete tshuva where the challenge comes your way again and you hold back, that's not likely to happen on Yom Kippur. Why? Because, you know, when you're sitting in shul or in your house fasting, how many challenges are really coming your way and how many of them are you dealing with on that day? But you will deal with them, you'll deal with them in the future. So what's the goal in Yom Kippur? It's to develop that commitment and that resolve that I am changing. And, you know, these actions, these midos, these sins of the past were silly, and I regret them, and I'm done with them, and I really want to be different. And as strong as that commitment is, that's as strong as your tshuva is. It can't be lip service, it has to be real, it has to be genuine, it can't be fake. Hashem knows what's fake and what's real. But as the Rambam says, your commitment is to the point where God Himself can look into you and say, this person is for real. This person will not go back to that sin again. If I freeze you at that moment, and your mindset remains a Yom Kippur mindset all year long, then you really would be perfect. So we lose the mindset. But that's real tshuva. And later on, if we make a mistake, okay, so that's because it doesn't change the commitment I had in Yom Kippur. It just means that I lost the strength of that commitment because time went on, and I lost my Yom Kippur mindset. But Yom Kippur, we stand there, and we accept God as the King, and we confess, we do vidui, and we spend the whole day dwelling upon, you know, atonement and repentance and on all these important topics. It brings us to a genuine feeling of tshuva, it really does. And that's the feeling we're trying to hit. So really, this whole time of year, we're not looking necessarily. I mean, action is important, but I don't think it's very practical to say that in action we're able to do a full tshuva over a course of a week or even a month, because that requires you to go through the same challenges that you've had, and then resist, and that doesn't always in our hands. Now, we don't know we don't ask for challenges, we don't know what challenges come our way, and whatever challenges come our way, we have to react to at the time. The tshuva that we're looking for is a clarity in our mindset and a strength of commitment, which is going to show us and show Hashem that we are going to be different and we're going to change. And Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah are times where you're meant to really reach a clarity in life, again, in your thoughts. Who am I? Who is God? What's my role in this world? What are my weaknesses? You come to remorse over previous deeds that you regret. You develop a deeper connection to Hashem and to the Torah. And you develop a sense of purpose in life, a little energy to go forward and to change. That's what's happening during this time of year. It's all those different questions. We have to ask ourselves those questions. Who are we and what is our role? Those are questions that should be asked this time of year. And that's what God's looking for, and that's what we're looking for. So this clarity leads us to new resolutions and new commitments. I want to highlight maybe a story in the Torah, which I want to look at it from a little different perspective. You know, last year in this class, we went through a lot of stories in the Torah and tried to see different perspectives in them. One story that we actually went through was the story of the Akedah, of the binding of Yitzchak. And there's an element of that story which I don't think we touched upon when we spoke about it last year, but it's very relevant to this time of year. Now, many sources say the Akedah happened on Rosh Hashanah, and some say Yom Kippur. So the Akedah very much fits this time of year. Additionally, in Rosh Hashanah, the second day, the laning, the Kriyas Torah, was about the Akedah. The custom is to blow a shofar of an ayah of a ram to remind Hashem of the Akedah. In the Musaf davening Rosh Hashanah, we spoke about the Akedah. I mean, it's a theme throughout this entire week and the entire month of Elul. It's a focus. So there's a lot to be learned from the Akedah. But there's a point, I think, which we don't maybe think about that often, but it's very significant. If I ask you the question, you know, what actually happened at the Akedah? So, to be honest, I don't want to belittle it, but the answer is nothing. He did not kill Yitzchak. He didn't sacrifice him. He almost did. He tied him down. He had the knife in his hand, but he was told to stop. And ultimately, did Avraham actually kill his child? The answer is he did not kill his child. So when Avraham succeeded in the Akedah, where did he succeed? He succeeded in his thoughts, in his commitments. He didn't succeed in the world of action because he was told to stop, but he did stop. He didn't actually kill Yitzchak. Yitzchak was not sacrificed. However, if you look at sources in the Gemara, in Chazal, so there's a phrase which is used. We say that Yitzchak's Efer Tzavar HaMizbeach, Yitzchak's ashes are piled on the Mizbeach. So Yitzchak didn't get burnt. He didn't get slaughtered. He didn't get burnt. So why did Chazal always tell us that Hashem looks at the ashes of Yitzchak and that becomes a merit for Klal Yisrael? I mean, what ashes is he looking at? It wasn't pretend. I mean, we're not just using a phrase. There's something real over there. So the Or Gedaliah, Rav Gedaliah Shor, who was one of the big Jewish thinkers in America, probably, I don't know, 30, 40 years ago. So he writes the following. He says that, maybe I'll preface it for a moment. Whenever we do a mitzvah, so God commands us in the Torah mitzvahs. So let's take an example. So God says, eat matzah. On Pesach, you mitzvah to eat matzah. So matzah has an action, but it's not about the action. There's a goal. There's a realization you're supposed to reach when eating matzah. So matzah, let's say simply, is about, you're supposed to taste the taste of freedom from Mitzrayim. So the goal of matzah is to be able to experience or see yourself as if you left Mitzrayim. That's the goal. We do it through thought and action. That's how we do it. If I just eat the matzah and don't think about its meaning, it's half a mitzvah. If I think about it, its meaning and don't do the action, it's no mitzvah. But neither is complete unless I think and I do. So before the Torah was given, actually, let's say in times of the Avos and Imahos, before that we got the Torah at Har Sinai, so the main point was the thoughts and the goals, and the action was secondary. So you find at times, let's say before the Torah was given, that certain mitzvos were not done, you know, in the world of action, but the ideas were actually understood in the mind. Just an example, for instance, you know, there's a very interesting story in Parshas Vayetze with Yaakov and the sheep. He was trying to have the sheep give birth to animals that were striped or spotted. A little complex story there, but they have that in Parshas Vayetze. So the Torah describes Yaakov, you know, peeling sticks. Well, the context is not so relevant. He was peeling sticks. Kabbalistically, they say that when Yaakov peeled sticks, he was actually accomplishing the mitzvah of tefillin. Because when you peel the sticks, the peels look like the tefillin straps. So we see some sort of resemblance. But what does it mean? It's not just a cute analogy, the straps and the sticks. But the idea is that for Yaakov, whatever tefillin is supposed to bring you to understand, or accomplish, or recognize, so that was done in his mind without the actual tefillin. He didn't need the tefillin. For him, he was able just to accomplish the goals of tefillin without the action of tefillin. Now, once the Torah is given, once Hashem gives the Torah at Har Sinai, so we're bound by the mitzvos. So I can't say, oh, I know what tefillin is all about, I don't need to wear it. That we can't do. We have to do the mitzvos as God prescribes them. That's clear. But before the Torah was given, the main focus was on the accomplishment, and the action was just a means to an end. Now, the truth is that without the action, it's very hard to get to the goal. I mean, Hashem has deemed that these actions are going to help you understand fully what the mitzvah is all about, and without it, you're not going to get there. So there's a realization that comes through matzah, or through shofar, or through luv and esrog, or through any mitzvah we do, or tzedakah, or, you know, you name it, keeping Shabbos. And if you were to say, well, I don't need to actually keep Shabbos because I understand what Shabbos is all about. So we can't do that for sure nowadays. And even in times of the Avos and Imahos, when the Torah wasn't given, to say that you're going to reach a true understanding of Shabbos without actually keeping Shabbos isn't really practical, because God says the action is needed to get to the feelings. And that's true in general. The actions help to concretize the feelings. They'll bring out the feelings. And spiritually, they bring those feelings into you. So ultimately, every mitzvah has an action, has a thought process. We really should be doing both. The idea of a kavanah behind a mitzvah is that we have the thought process in tandem with the action, and that's the most powerful thing to do. And typically without the action, you can't actually fully reach the thought process required. That's the usual context of a mitzvah. Now, but there is a situation where you could, in your own mind, accomplish that which the mitzvah requires without doing the action. Now, we're not allowed to anymore. And after Torah was given to us in Har Sinai, we have to do the actions. Those are obligations upon us. But technically, it's possible to reach the feeling of the mitzvah without the action. It's possible. So at the Akedah, the Ur Gadol HaDor says that Avraham, in his mind, basically sacrificed Yitzchak, meaning his commitment was so strong. The feelings of the fear and love of God, the feelings of duty towards God, the feelings of giving everything, negating himself towards God, were so strong. The commitment was, the resolve was 100%. That was so, in the world of thought, Yitzchak was sacrificed. So before he did it with his hands, God said stop. But technically, in the world of thought, Avram was not required to go ahead and finish the action, because he fully accomplished everything he needed to accomplish in his thoughts. Because really, the Akedah happened at the end of the day, not in the world of action, in the world of thought. Because Avraham had decided 100% with no hesitations and no doubts that I am doing what God told me to do, period. No questions asked. For most of us, I mean, that situation, certainly we would not pass that challenge, but in most challenges, you have to actually, until you actually do the action, then you can't trust yourself, you're not going to hesitate, you're not going to hold, you might hold back, you don't understand what you're doing. Once it's done, it's done. For Abraham, it didn't need to be done. He understood in his mind, he was so committed in his mind, that resolve, that will was so strong, that Abraham was able to accomplish the Ikeda 100% in the world of thought with no need for action. So commitments in the mind are real. And they're the essence of who we are. So if we were to use that as a model for this time of year, Hashem is telling us, just like Avraham was able to make a tremendous accomplishment, totally in the world of desire, of commitment, of resolve, of will, so we should do the same. On Yom Kippur, we're not going to be doing the actions. We're going to be doing the thoughts. But those thoughts need to be real and concrete and strong and powerful. And God says, when I see those are genuine and they're real, then I accept your tshuva, because that is tshuva. That really, deep down, we are what we desire. That's the truth. You know, Kabbalistically, the deepest point before God comes and acts in this world is what's called ratzon, is will, is desire. In all of us, we have desires within, and they drive us to action. We're always acting based on our desire. So desires are deeper and deeper, and it might be more subtle and more intricate, but deep down, you have a desire which is making you to act. Your desire might be for physical accomplishments, material, might be for spiritual accomplishments. But that desire within is what drives us to act in this world. So you're working very much on Yom Kippur, in Aseres Metshuva, on refining your desires, your goals, your commitments, your will. That's what you're trying to do. And that's who we are, because everything that we do in life really stems from the will within. Everything we do, if you think about it, it's always because I have some deep desire for something. That's why I act. Sometimes you have to go deeper and deeper than yourself to figure out what's driving you. But there's always something driving you, and what's driving you is called your ratzon, it's called your will. And that's what drives human beings. On Yom Kippur, you say vidui, the confession, 10 times. And each time you say that confession, so you're going a little bit deeper within yourself. It gets a little more genuine, we hope. I mean, sometimes the way we approach it the first time is very powerful because we haven't said this confession in a long time, and now we say it and it resonates with us. By the time you get to like the 8th or 9th time on Yom Kippur, you're a little bored of it, you're tired. But really the goal is the opposite. If you're saying vidui 10 times, because each time you're saying vidui, you're trying to peel off one more layer of yourself and go deeper within to become more genuine and more real. And you're trying to reach a point, you know, where you've hit, you know, the core of yourself. Yom Kippur is a day where you can really uncover so much of yourself. It's a day where God gives special opportunities for us to dig within, deep within, and know what we're all about. What are our wants? What are our desires? What are our needs? What are our talents? What are our shortcomings? It's a day where you can peel off layer after layer of who you are and figure out what life is all about, what you're all about. Yom Kippur is made that way. The same way that Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol would enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, he would go deeper and deeper and deeper into the Beis HaMikdash. So we go deeper and deeper into ourselves. And every single moment Yom Kippur is moving us deeper and deeper in until the Ela. The Ela is the deepest point. When you get to the end of the day, you've hopefully hit some point within yourself of clarity and of depth. And the Ela is those moments where you're able to make those commitments from a real perspective. The deeper you go within yourself, the more real the commitments are. Because they're not coming from your superficial, from the surface, they're coming from within. So the commitments you make throughout the day of Yom Kippur, those commitments become more genuine, more real, because you have hit the core of yourself during those days. We are what we desire. The core of the person is the desire, it's the will. Even, you know, in Hebrew, you learn a lot from the language. The word for I, you know, ani. So if you were to break that up, ani, an is like where, it's your direction. You say, where are you going? Le'an. Le'an ata holech. Where are you going? So ani is my direction. Where am I going? That's ani. So your essence is your ani, which is your direction. And where are you going? So you're going to where your will is. In Hebrew, the word for will is ratzon. That's will. Comes the word ratz, which is to run. Because you run towards that which you desire. And ani, my direction, is what I desire. That's my direction where I'm going. It all ties together. We're in the Yimei Ratzon, the days of will, of desire. It's the days where God reaches out towards us, and we reach out towards God, and we develop within ourselves the desire. So if I were to go back to our original question, just to sum it up, and then we want to know what's the tshuva we're looking for during these days. And like the Rambam said, true tshuva is only when the challenge comes your way again, and you have the ability to sin, and you refrain. That's tshuva gemura. That's full tshuva. And that will come. You know, who knows, next week, in 2 weeks, in a month, in a year from now, we'll have those same challenges in the past, and we hope that we can refrain during those times and show willpower not to do the wrong things again. But during this week, during these coming days, during Yom Kippur, what's our goal? It's not the action, but it's the thoughts of tshuva. And thoughts don't just mean, oh, I'm thinking of doing tshuva. I want to be better. It means that I have a real, solid, genuine, concrete commitment to prove myself. That's what it means. And God sees, God can testify on your, how genuine you are, on your sincerity. He knows, and you know, and that defines you. That defines who we are, and that's what God's looking for. If on Yom Kippur, our desire is in the right place, our goals are in the right place, no, our direction is the right direction, and our attitude is that I am committed, so that's how we merit a Ksiva Chasima Tova, a good year, a year of bracha, and because God sees that this person is in the right direction. And yeah, we'll fail again. We'll make mistakes. But that does not mean you didn't succeed right now. Now, one of my rabbis, Rabbi Reingold, he gave a very good analogy to this concept of failing again in the future. It was a personal story of his, but I'll share it with you. I find it to be very, very empowering. He said that when he was a kid growing up in Cleveland, he was very into chess. And he said that one time, a grand chess master, I think from Russia, came into Cleveland, and there's an opportunity for the local youth to play chess with the grand chess master. You had to qualify. If you're good enough at chess, you could play the grand chess master. So he qualified, he said. And there were probably about 20 kids in the room or something, and the chess master was going around, like, you know, kid to kid, making moves on each board, you know, just, you know, in a circle. So, you know, some of the kids got out, like, you know, their checkmate, like, very quickly. And some kids are able to stay in a little bit longer, some kids a little longer, you know, so everyone knew they're going to lose. No kid was beating the grand chess master, that was clear. So everyone knew they're going to lose. However, the real competition was, how long can I stay in the game? If I could stay in for 25 moves and then lose, that was a real accomplishment. If I lost after 2 moves, that's less of an accomplishment. So we know that we're going to make mistakes again. We're human beings. But the fact that you were able to refrain once, twice, three times, four times, five times, you don't say, oh, I'm a loser because I failed on the sixth time. You say, no, 5 times I succeeded. Yeah, I failed also. I was able to stay in the ring with the chess master, with the Yetzer Hara, for 25 moves. And then the 26th move, okay, so I lost the game. But that does not mean the 25 moves I made were not accomplishments. So on Yom Kippur, the accomplishment of commitment and putting up that fight, that is an accomplishment. And even if you know you'll fail in the future, that doesn't matter, because as long as you're fighting the fight, you're making those moves, each move you make is an accomplishment. You didn't lose yet. That's an accomplishment. If you went into the ring with a champion boxer, so if you got knocked out after the first punch, or knocked out after you know, 5 rounds, it's a big difference. You know you're going to be knocked out at some point. But if I can stay in 5 rounds without being knocked out, so I feel I've accomplished something. So we have to look at accomplishment that way as well. Putting up the fight. Every time we hold back from something we're trying to work on is an accomplishment. And if we fail on the 10th time or the 20th time, okay, that happens. That's okay. That doesn't mean that all of my fighting was a failure. It was a success. And I happen to fail later. And that has to be viewed. So I think it's an empowering thought, because, you know, realistically we know we're gonna be challenged, and we may fail again. But it doesn't mean that every single time I hold back, that, you know, that's a failure. It's all an accomplishment. So I wish everybody a Gemar Chasima Tova, a year of health and bracha, and we look forward to being back together in person one of these days. Ritz Hashem, that'd be quite a simcha. I was joking today with some of the Bachram and Yeshiva. I can't wait for the day we can make a bonfire with all these masks. You know?
That would be nice.
Yeah, we all get together, we'll throw on a big bonfire, and we can have a party. That's what we're waiting for. But
great.
As soon as it can be.
Thank you.
But
thank you.
Okay, Gemara Tov.
Gemara Tov. Thank you very
much.
Gemara Tov. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.